Welcome back to the Baby Sleep Consultant podcast. I'm Emma, the owner and founder of Baby Sleep Consultant. And today we are going to be talking about awake windows versus routine. So the first question we have to cover is, what are awake windows? An awake window is basically how long your baby is awake between naps. So not the time between feeds, which can confuse some people, but the time that they are awake. Pretty simple, but still a common question. Now, my biggest personal pet peeve when it comes to awake window is people referring to them as wake windows. So not awake, but just wake. And for shorthand, they will type this as WW on social media. So I did a quick Google because obviously I thought I've got to be right on this before I jump on a podcast. And English Class 101 says, awake refers to not being asleep, the condition of not being asleep. And to wake means to cause someone to become awake. So with that kind of definition in mind, I think we can all agree it is awake windows. Okay, I've got that out of the way, so let's move on. Okay, so if you have followed me for more than a hot minute, you'll know that I am a routine girly. But I get it, not everyone loves a routine, and not everyone parents like me. But I wanted to acknowledge my bias at the start of this podcast. I love routines. So why are awake windows loved by so many? I think so because they are easy. No worries about early wake-ups or having to solve an early wake-up or extending naps or bridging naps or clock watching or keeping on a schedule. You just start the time when your baby's nap ends and stop the time when the awake window is over and put them down for another nap. So sounds really simple, sounds really easy, which is why I think they are really attractive to a lot of parents. But awake windows increase as your baby ages. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is awake windows have to increase because the amount of day sleep your baby needs is decreasing if you want to encourage good night sleep. And this is because the total amount of sleep that your baby needs is reducing over time. So if we want baby to take a big chunk, say 10 to 12 hours of sleep at night, then we need to ensure that day sleep isn't robbing night sleep. But this is actually where a lot of people get unstuck with awake windows, because the advice is just, here's your awake window, go forth and conquer your baby's sleep. And so they don't decrease total day sleep. As baby gets older, they just increase awake windows. And in response to this, usually bedtime pushes out later and later as the awake windows increase, and essentially naps are robbing evening sleep. So that sleep that you would be getting from like 7 to 9 p.m., that's being robbed by naps as the days push out, as the awake windows push out. But the naps don't get any shorter if you don't have that knowledge. So to avoid this, you need to track not only awake windows, but also daily sleep, and ensure you're waking your baby if they try to oversleep past the set amount of hours that you are tracking. And this is how you'll manage to keep bedtime at bedtime. I think another reason why people love awake windows is the feeling of more freedom. They can go out more sporadically and just work off awake time if baby happens to take a nap in the car or the stroller while they're out. On the other hand, this can be a bit of a hurdle for some people, especially those who have school or kindy or work commitments. So why is that? If you're only following awake windows, the timing of your nap varies each day depending on when they wake to start their day and how long the previous nap was. So this can mean right when you need to go to school or kindy for a drop off, baby might be down for a nap and you have to wake them up and they have a very short nap. Or you have to try to achieve a car nap, which is super hard after those newborn months. On the same topic, it can be hard to book appointments in the future if you never know when your baby will take a nap. But some people love the spontaneity of this. I personally find awake windows work really well for newborns, as their sleep is so disorganized already that having a nice simple guide of, say, 90 minutes awake, and in that time, you're unlikely to be doing much more than feeding, burping, changing, maybe or hopefully feeding and watering yourself. And then your baby is due back in bed again. So that works quite well for newborns. And late bedtimes don't matter so much because the awake times are so short that it's unlikely to even be that late that the bedtime becomes, even with random nap times all day. And your brain is so sleep deprived in those newborn weeks. So having a nice, simple awake window to follow can be really nice and easy and helpful for sleep deprived new parents. So if you are interested in following awake windows, what awake windows do I personally recommend? In the first 6 weeks, usually about 60 to 90 minutes is the awake window that I'm recommending clients follow. 6 to 12 weeks, that might extend out from an hour and a half to an hour 45. Some might do 2 hours, but not very often, so I don't like to recommend that much. 3 months, the most common awake time is that hour 45 because you're at the end of that 6 to 12 week period. 4 months, I like a maximum of 2 hours awake time. And then around 5 months, we add on 15 minutes. So if you're going from 4 months to 5 months, there's 4 weeks in there. You can see that roughly 5 minutes every week or so will get you to 2 hours, 15 minutes by 5 months. And another 15 minutes over the next 4 weeks will get you to around 2.5 hours by 6 months. Now, as your baby gets a lot older, 7 to 12 months, the gap between naps, if you're following awake times, will increase to 3, maybe even 3.5 hours, depending on how long your naps are. And that's the other variable you have to understand if you're choosing to follow awake windows. How long your baby naps for will affect how long their next awake window is. You might need to either learn how much sleep pushes out or reduces your baby's window, or be vigilant at looking for tired signs combined with awake windows, which can get quite hard when your baby gets really mobile and they're not actually always facing you or in the same room as you. They might have crawled off somewhere displaying tired signs and you're missing it because you aren't in the same room. So reading those tired signs can get harder the more mobile they get. Another curveball awake windows can throw you is understanding as the day goes on, awake time might increase, especially if you aren't structuring sleep. A common structure to give you that increased awake time as the day goes on is the 2-3-4 rule. So this is a rule that works once your baby is on 2 naps a day. And the numbers stand for time between sleeps. So they wake up and they have 2 hours awake time and then they go down for a nap. Then they have 3 hours awake time, then they go down for a nap, then they have 4 hours awake time, and it's bedtime. And this is a structure that is helping work with your baby's naturally wanting to increase their sleep drive at the end of the day to help with a really nice, long, deep sleep in the evening prior to midnight. So that's why that 4 hour stretch is there at the end of the day. And this works really well, but you can see that it's not just one awake window. We're not just saying the awake window all day is 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours. It's 2, then 3, then 4. But for younger babies who are on 3 naps a day, often their last awake window will actually be shorter. So this is because that 4 hour block, it's still there. It might be shorter. It might be 3 or 3.5 hours from nap until bedtime, but that awake window is actually bridged by a late afternoon cat nap. So for example, if your baby is awake at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they are on 2 naps a day, then if you were following 2-3-4, they would go to bed at 7 o'clock. But if your baby is, say, 4 months old and they're awake at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're still aiming for a 7 o'clock bedtime, but there's going to be a little nap in there between 3 and 7, probably around 4:30, 5 o'clock, and that's going to bridge that awake time. So you can see if they were awake, say, 2 hours after 3 p.m., that's through till 5, and they have a little cat nap there, that might take them through until 5:30. And then if you're still aiming for a 7 o'clock bedtime, which they probably will need, then that's actually only an hour and a half awake time from 5:30 till 7. So you can see the last awake time is actually shorter in the younger babies. So you can kind of start to see why one standard awake window is really tricky to implement. Often if we try to use the same awake window all day, so between naps and at the end of the day, especially if your last nap of the day was short, then it's super common for clients to come to us for bedtime help in this situation. And that's because baby is overtired in the evening. So if you were trying to, with that 4-month-old, follow 2 hours between each nap, when they woke at 5:30, you would push bedtime out to 7:30 because you're aiming for a 2-hour awake window rather than following that 4-hour rule of trying to get them into bed by 7, regardless of that little power nap late in the evening. And an overtired baby in the evening will be crying after their bath, not feeding well or feeding to sleep, going to bed super upset or falling asleep while you feed them. And then in both of those situations, we often see baby waking 45 minutes into the night sleep or around 9 p.m. So both of those signs, that false start that you guys call it in the evening, 45 minutes into the night or 9 p.m., those are both signs that your baby is overtired and you probably need to reduce your last awake window. So to recap, to make awake windows work, you need to understand awake windows as per your baby's age, how much total daily sleep you're aiming for, how that awake window might vary based on how long they have slept, and what time of day it is. So that's a lot to keep track of, in my opinion. But hey, if you love awake windows and they work for you, keep using them. I would never suggest that anyone try and fix something that's not broken. When you look at all the variables that I've just mentioned and the variable sleep that awake windows can create, it becomes obvious that following awake windows, I think, suits a really laid back, flexible, easygoing baby and a similar temperament parent. Luckily, temperament is largely genetic and chances are parent and baby have at least a similar temperament, unless of course your baby gets his temperament from dad and you're the laid back one but he isn't, then maybe awake windows aren't going to work for you guys. Okay, let's look at routine. You probably already know if you love or hate a routine, or maybe you're pregnant listening to this podcast and you haven't yet decided. So let's first talk about why some people hate routine. And I can completely relate to this myself because I have at times slipped into this mindset myself. But now with over 100,000 clients under my belt, rather than just my own 3 babies to stress over, I have a much better perspective on this. Anyway, people hate routine a lot of the time because it stresses them out. They see a routine and, for example, it might say 9 a.m. nap, 10 a.m. awake, 12 p.m. nap, 2 p.m. awake. And so 9 a.m. rolls around and their baby is still crying, not asleep, and they begin to stress, thinking, great, now you're not going to get enough sleep. Should I just get you up and rescue the nap? Should I let you sleep past 10 a.m. to make up for it? And it's stressful, right? Or even more common, baby is asleep by 9 a.m., but wakes up at 9:45 a.m. Oh, the parent starts to stress. How do I get the baby back to sleep? Or now do I move the lunch nap earlier? Is this not the right routine for them? How will I get the day back on track? And they start to feel like they're failing at routine. Now, at this point, if you're nodding along wondering how I read your thoughts, it's because I've had these thoughts too. I'm human and I have been stressed out trying to get a routine set up, but I've also seen the benefits once I've set it up. And having worked with, like I mentioned, over 100,000 clients by now, I know that the exactness of a routine, it doesn't matter as much as you think it does. Now, what I tell my clients is when you are first getting started with routine, think to yourself, if the routine says 9 a.m. nap, it doesn't matter so much if they go down at 8:50, 9 a.m. or 10 past 9. It's around 9 a.m. and they're taking a nap. Great. Then if the routine says 12 p.m. nap, it doesn't matter if it's 11:50 or 12:15. They're going down around 12 p.m. This is great. The same goes for the end of the nap. If they wake 15 minutes early and you do your best to resettle them and they don't go back to sleep, don't panic. You're introducing your baby to routine and you're aiming for close enough. I find as the days and weeks go on, you'll find that you'll be able to get closer and closer to 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. if that's the routine that your baby's on. The more you offer the nap at the same or similar time each day, the more your baby will start to expect it. And this is when things start to fall into place. They have an internal clock and you are working with their clock by offering the same sleep at the same time each day. As they start to expect it, settling also starts to get easier and easier. Whether that's helping them to self-settle or helping them to get to sleep when they're younger and they're a newborn, it gets easier and easier. And this is one of the many things I love about routine. The predictability of it creates really content babies who can predict what's coming up next, as it's the same as yesterday. And this means they don't have to cry as much to communicate their needs to you. And who doesn't love a baby that doesn't cry as much, right? Now, don't be fooled by people who say, your baby isn't a robot. Do you do the same thing at the same time each day? I know your baby isn't a robot, but you and your baby have an internal clock and your body would love it if you slept and woke up at the same time each day. It's one of the big things that actual sleep experts recommend for adults who are struggling with their sleep is to start their day at the same time each day to keep their sleep on track. No sleep-ins on the weekend. Now, if you're wondering about your own internal clock, the way that I remind people and get them to think about this so they can realize they have a really strong internal clock is that if you do sleep in on the weekend and maybe you go out for a late breakfast, your body still starts to tell you around lunchtime that it's time to eat lunch. And this is because your routine of doing things during the week is really strong, as is your internal clock. Your body wants to do the same thing at the same time each day. I do, however, think the robot phrase gives us some much needed perspective when we're establishing and following routines. Your baby isn't a robot and they are adaptable. So if one day you're late for a nap, they will be fine and you will be fine. If they have to be woken up to get out of the house every Wednesday for your child's older child's swimming lesson, they will adapt and they can have a different routine that afternoon and their sleep won't fall apart. If this is your thought process at the moment and you feel like sleep will fall apart and they're not adaptable, take it from someone who has gone through this with my own children and helped, like I said, over 100,000 clients, your sleep will be okay. It won't fall apart. Sometimes parents have a great routine in the day and the natural consequence of this is better night sleep. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I did tell you that I was a fan of routine. And it's for reasons like this. Often night sleep does improve without any sleep training needed once a good day routine is established. But the problem once the night sleep improves is that parents can become a little bit fixated on this and panic if things change one day. The parents will be anxious that night sleep will fall apart as a consequence of a little blip that day. And once you're getting good night sleep, I can understand not wanting to lose it. But I can tell you it's really unlikely that a small blip in your day routine will cause a huge catastrophe that night. Just like eating one donut on Wednesday doesn't ruin your entire diet that you followed from Monday to Sunday. It's consistency over all of that week that creates those consistent nights. And when it comes to routine and babies, good enough is usually good enough. Now, we spoke earlier about awake windows having to increase as your baby gets older, but then parents not realizing they need to reduce total day sleep. And routines take care of this for you. Routine reduces total day sleep time to suit your baby's changing needs and support good night's sleep. This takes away all the guesswork and just gives you that peace of mind. In my routines, I even keep the same end time to my naps. This keeps things really consistent. So we move the start time of the nap. This increases the awake time gradually and decreases the nap time gradually, keeping the finish time of the nap the same. But the end time of the nap being the same, or the finish time, this can actually be the reason some people aren't successful with routines. So if this is you, listen up. So some people look at my routines and they say, okay, I see the pattern. 30 minutes sleep here, 2 hours sleep here. And it doesn't matter much when I offer that sleep. So they'll vary when the baby goes down, and then they will time the sleep and wake them up. And I never recommend someone watch a monitor and time when a baby falls asleep. I think that is unnecessary stress and work and anxiety. And on top of that, your baby might actually sleep too much following this strategy. Hear me out while I explain why. A routine allows for settling time and knows when your baby will naturally sleep less as they age. So when I say put your baby down at, say, 9:30 a.m. and wake them at 10, that looks like 30 minutes of nap. But in fact, by the time your baby settles, let's say at 6 months, it might be a 25-minute nap. But then by the time they roll around and crawl around and finally lay down to go to sleep at 9 months, it might be a 10-minute nap. So they are naturally reducing how much they sleep in that time, and they're naturally increasing their awake window from 7 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. to 9:35 a.m. all the way through from 7 a.m. to 9:50 a.m. But we're not having to do that for them. We just put them down at 9:30, they muck around for 20 minutes, they fall asleep, we wake them up at 10 a.m. So you can see that if you timed when they fell asleep and then woke them after 30 minutes, they would be having a lot more sleep than the routine is offering. And people find the next nap pushes out later and later, or becomes shorter and shorter, and things start to fall apart a bit. If you want a routine, often, and especially on my routines, the end time of the nap is important for the reasons we've just talked about. Now, one of the other big reasons routines get a bad reputation is because they often mention feeding, and people scream from the rooftops, "You're starving the babies. If you implement a routine, you're starving your baby." But I'm here to tell you that routines mention feedings for two reasons. Number one, if we didn't, some people might think that there is no feeding in the day schedule. It's that simple. And number two, having times to feed helps avoid falling into the trap of feeding right before a nap and therefore starting to feed to sleep, which is one of the biggest sleep associations people come to us for help to resolve. The feeds in a routine are usually after a nap. When they're really young, the feed will be almost immediately after the nap, as your baby will be hungry. But as they get older, the feed might be sort of mid-awake time. And this is because the routine is growing with your baby. As they age, they can go longer between feeds. Their tummy's getting bigger, they're taking bigger feeds, they can have a bigger gap between their feeds. If you always feed at the end of the nap, no matter what, no matter how long the nap is, no matter the time of day, you might find they aren't that hungry. So they'll take a small feed, but then they get hungry before the next nap, and you might accidentally feed to sleep. And this is actually a really common way that a lot of my clients tell me they accidentally picked up the feeding to sleep association. Even more commonly when they start introducing solids, because if they're not following any kind of routine around solids and milk and sleep, then they can often find trying to fit solids and milk into an awake time means that the milk ends up being right before the nap, and they establish a feed to sleep association they then need help to change. So when a routine mentions feed times, if your baby is hungry before a feed time, just feed them. No one is saying to make them wait and starve them. But if a routine says, for example, 10:30 a.m. feed, and you last fed at 7 a.m. and it's your 4-month-old baby, and they're still not demanding a feed and 10:30 a.m. rolls around, I would just offer them a feed. Chances are you're just preempting their needs. And if they're not hungry, they'll let you know and you can come back to it in sort of 15, 20 minutes. But often it's just the fact that you've preempted it. They haven't needed to cry for a feed and they'll take a good feed. All right, another good thing about routines. Let's chat about scheduling things in advance. If you are a type A personality, you are going to love this. When I had my first daughter, who I put on a routine by 3 months, we had to schedule well child appointments. If you're in America, these are probably pediatric visits. In New Zealand, we call them well child appointments. And these were scheduled a month or 6 weeks in advance. And I would look at my routine book and see when my baby's awake time would be based on the routine in 6 weeks' time and schedule my appointments for then. And the nurse was amused and confused and asking me how I knew when my baby would take a nap in 6 weeks' time. And she was kind of laughing to herself that this wouldn't happen. But in fact, it does. If you're following a routine, then you'll know how consistent those naps become and how predictable the changes are that they'll follow as the routine grows with them. And that's what routine does. It grows with your baby. If the routine you're following is mine or developed by one of my students who I've trained, then they'll have the knowledge to know how to change the structure of the routine they're building and how to adapt to it to your baby's changing sleep needs. Now, when you look at my routines, you'll notice that we aim for most sleep between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And this is to ensure that there is enough buildup of sleep drive to encourage longer night sleep. And it avoids also a top heavy day with a lot of sleep before 8:30 a.m. or around that time, because we know this causes early wake-ups. Now, apart from avoiding early wake-ups and encouraging good bedtimes, another bonus of having a routine is really easy nap transitions. Nap transitions on routine are really easy and predictable, especially on my routines. The entire routine, all the way through until 2 years, is set up working towards the goal of one nap a day. And this occurs between 12 and 18 months. This one nap a day is ideally around lunchtime. This gives a nice balanced day and keeps enough time after the nap for that sleep drive to build up and encourage good night sleep. But to get to one nap a day by this age, we have a morning nap and a late afternoon nap to transition away from. And routine does this for you. It reduces these naps and then drops them as appropriate, keeping everything around the lunch nap really consistent. So that is super easy. People always ask me, how do I transition from 3 naps to 2? And I say, if you're on my routine, you just drop the 3rd nap and nothing else changes. And then if you're dropping from 2 naps to 1 and you're on my routine, you just drop the 1st nap and nothing else changes. It's that simple. Whereas with awake windows, people often come to me stuck on a 10 to 12 nap and a 4 to 5 nap with a late bedtime. And then at 12 months, they're asking how to transition to 1 nap. And to be honest, this is a huge job, and to do it gradually would actually take weeks and weeks. Or the other pattern that they're stuck on will be a 9 to 11 nap and a 2 to 4 nap with a 7 p.m. bedtime. And this is a really common situation again, and they'll ask why their 12 or 15 month old wakes so much in the night when they follow a 3-hour awake window like they were told to. And they don't know how to drop to 1 nap. If you drop the 2 to 4 nap, then you're asking your baby to stay awake from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and that's 8 hours. That's crazy. But if you cut the 2 to 4 p.m. nap, then you're asking them to stay awake from 6 or 7 a.m. through to 2 p.m. and that's 7 hours. That's not much better. The alternative is cold turkey swap to a midday nap, which if you've ever done a daylight savings changeover, which is only 1 hour difference, you'll know that it takes weeks and weeks for a baby to make an adjustment like this. It's a huge change, and I would expect to deal with jet lag type symptoms. So grumpy baby, tired baby, irritable, and maybe broken sleep. Or again, the final option I work with here is gradually trimming nap one and gradually moving nap two back towards midday. And this would realistically take 4 to 6 weeks because of the time you are changing is so much. But the problem here is often by the time people realize their baby needs one nap a day, their routine is already falling apart. Well, they don't have a routine, but their awake windows are already falling apart. And usually that first nap is robbing the second nap, which is the opposite of the goal we're trying to achieve. So having seen all these problems, I guess you can start to see why I favor a predictable, well thought out routine. And if I was to summarize, I'd have to say that awake windows are great in the early days, and moving forward, they require a lot of education on baby sleep to make them work. They best suit a really laid back parent and baby. And routine can be more stressful in the early days, but takes away the guesswork, leaving you with more time to just enjoy parenting. I told you I was biased. But they don't suit overly anxious parents who read too much into what their child is up to minute by minute. Okay, so that's my under 30 minute, a little bit biased opinion on awake times or awake windows versus routine. If you want to understand more about routines or awake times, I will put some links in the show notes. A really good place to start if you're wanting to try out a nap routine is our free nap routines. I'll put the link also in the show notes so you can sign up to receive those in your inbox. Just check your spam folders for us. They often end up in your promotion or spam folders, but they're a nice simple way to get started with routine without too much pressure, just some sort of fixed nap times. Just remember, good enough is usually good enough. And as always, if you need some more help with your baby's sleep, then do get in touch, because we have online programs you can follow, and myself and my team of consultants are always available for one-on-one international consults. Phone, Zoom, home, depending on where you are based. Reach out if you need some help.